Okay. So we have Shaul leading the people, and they have no weapons except for Shaul. Shaul has a sword, his son, and they're standing on two opposing hilltops. Just a second, please. When Shaul sees that Shmuel isn't coming, and the nation is starting to get scared and leaving, so Shaul brings the sacrifice without Shmuel, even though Shmuel had told him, wait till I come before bringing the sacrifice. He finishes bringing the sacrifice, and Shmuel shows up on the scene. Shmuel asks him, what'd you do? Shaul said, I saw everyone was leaving. You didn't come, and the Philistines were getting ready for war. And I said, if I go to war and I didn't bring a sacrifice to Hashem, that can't be. So I constrained myself, va'etapak, and I brought the sacrifice. And Shmuel tells Shaul, he tells him, you messed up. You didn't keep the mitzvah of Hashem. One of the jobs of a king is to obey what the prophet tells him. And you were told to wait until I come before you bring that sacrifice. And because you did not listen, your kingdom won't last. Hashem wanted a king who will go his way. If you would have only kept the way of Hashem, then you and your offsprings would have been kings. And here our sages tell us that when God gives greatness to a person, He gives it to him and his offsprings for generations to come. God likes to give. God's giving. And we have this rule also in halacha, that if a person was a rabbi or a chazan, he had some kind of duty of public service, and he has a son who's fitting to take his place, then his son takes precedence over other people. So over here, Shmuel tells him, Hashem wanted someone that goes his way, and you didn't. They count them in. Shaul sees that he has 600 men. This is before he had 30,000. They don't have any weapons. The Philistines divide into three camps to attack. And Yonasan, Shaul's son, tells his lad, he says, let's go over to the Philistines. He doesn't tell anyone. And if you think about it, they didn't stand a chance anyways. So if they're going to win a miraculous war, then what difference does it make this way or that way? So
who goes over?
Yonasan, Shaul's son, he's the one that really loses out here. He was going to be king after Shaul, if Shaul would have kept the word of Hashem. So Yonasan tells his lad, he tells him, let's go over. Maybe Hashem will make us win. Because Hashem could make you win with more, a lot, with a little. However Hashem wants, that's the way it'll be. So the lad says, whatever you want, I'm with you. Yonasan says, this is what we'll do. We're going to a hilltop that's opposite the Philistine hilltop. And when they see us, we'll see what they say. If they say, come up, come over here, we'll take care of you. So that shows that they're scared. God gave them in our hands. And if they say, stay right there, we'll get to you, that means they're confident. They have the strength to defeat us. That's a bad sign. So they come out of their hiding. They're on a hilltop, and on the opposing hilltop are the Philistines. And the Philistines, two of them against the Philistine, against one of the Philistine camps. And the Philistines look down upon them. They say, come up here, we'll take care of you. Yonah says, that's our sign. They're saying that, they're not coming after us, two of us and all of them, then we have the upper hand, we're going to win. Yonasan's lad are climbing. Now if you think about it, if you're fighting with a sword, so he has the one sword, but he's climbing, he has to climb a hill. They're a whole battalion up there, they're on top of the hill.
How many?
I don't know how many were at that period. We'll see in a second how many people were killed, and that'll give us a picture. So Yonasan attacks, and the first attack, Yonasan kills 20 people, him and his lad. He'd knock them down, and his lad would finish the job, like make sure they were dead. The camp of the Philistines are scared. Suddenly they see something's happening, and people are retreating. So the Philistine camp gets scared. They start retreating. Shaul and his men are standing on the hilltop with the Jewish camp, and they don't know what's going on, but suddenly they see the Philistines retreating. So Shaul tells the Kohen, he tells him, let's ask the Urim Tumim, let's ask God what's happening. And then he sees that the Philistines are doing a major retreat. They're running. He tells the Kohen, forget it. We got to attack. We don't have time for this. He takes the people and they run. Now, the Philistines had in their midst, they had a lot of Jews who were servants, who were working for them. And all along, during the war, these Jews were on the Philistine side. Now they see that the Philistines are losing. So they do an about face. They join their brethren. And we have from within the Philistine camp a mutiny. We have the Jews from within fighting. Most of the army went in hiding when they heard Shaul was attacking. They heard Jonathan had killed the Philistine viceroy, governor, and they knew that now they were on bad. The Jews were on bad terms with the Philistines, so they went to hiding. They said, "We don't stand a chance. Why should we stick around and get killed with the rest of them?" But now that they heard that we're winning the war, so they joined the camp too. So we're giving chase, and the Philistines are running. We're giving chase, and this is an enemy that's been oppressing us for many, many years. So a lot of people wanted to give it to the Philistines. They were putting their all into it, and Shaul saw that they were putting their all into it. So he said, I don't want people to stop and start looking at the loot, the booty, focusing on that. We have to focus on getting rid of this enemy. So he said, I'm taking a vow for the Jewish people that no one will taste anything. No one's allowed to eat a morsel of food until sunset. For the rest of the day, no one touches a thing. Now, these people are fighting a war. They come into a forest, and there's honey on the field. Now here, the Navi says, Dvash, and Rashi tells us something that Rashi says in many places in Tanakh and in the Gemara, that Dvash doesn't have to mean honey. Dvash means some gooey liquid that is sweet, and Rashi seems to say, here and in other places, that Dvash is sugar. Sugar. But sugar is also called Dvash. Rashi says, the Pasuk says over here that there was honey flowing over there, and there was honey in the middle of the forest. So Rashi says, yeah, they had reeds of sugar cane, and the sugar cane was sapping honey. There was honey dripping from the sugar cane. Sugar. Sugar was dripping from the sugar cane. So Jonathan, now the Jewish camp is with Jonathan, they're all together, and Jonathan hasn't heard his father's vow. So they're walking through the forest, and there's delicious honey there. He sticks a staff into the honey, and he says, yum, this is delicious, guys. So the people around him say, there's a vow, no one's allowed to eat. You're not allowed to take that. Your father took on a vow. Whoever eats today gets killed. Jonathan hears this. He says, that's terrible. If my father did that, he's ruining our victory. Look at how much stronger I am now that I ate. How can my father do that? Tell people no one's going to eat a thing till sunset. Fine, they continue the attack. And that night, Shaul says, let's attack them. Comes nightfall, the people are hungry, so they start slaughtering animals. And here the Pasuk says that they ate the meat on the blood, which it's unclear what the Pasuk means. Does it mean that they didn't salt the meat properly? They were so hungry. Does it mean that they didn't cover the blood properly? They were in a rush to eat. They were so hungry. Does it mean that they were bringing sacrifices and not waiting for God's portion of blood to be put on the altar and they're eating the meat earlier? Does it mean that they did not check their knives properly? We know that a shechita knife cannot have any blemish. It's unclear what it means. Everything I mentioned now, I think each one of these is an opinion in Chazal, what was going on there. They were doing something wrong. Yeah?
Is it worded similarly to, I think, which book is it that says, like, don't eat over blood in the right flesh?
So when the Torah says don't eat over blood, there are many understandings what the Torah means. So here, when we have the same quote, so it's also unclear what the Torah means. Shaul hears this and he says, you've rebelled. This is terrible. He says, bring everyone here. We're setting up a stone. We're going to take care of matters. Now, the halacha says that when a shochet wants to shecht an animal, so he has to bring his knife to the rabbi. The rabbi is in control over the shochet. The rabbi has to check his knife at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the shechita period. Tells him your knife is okay. You know how to check knives. Go ahead. This is the first time that happened. Shaul said, everyone bring their knives to me. I'm going to check the knives, make sure you all are doing a kosher shechita. So, Shaul builds his first altar for Hashem at that place.
So I guess they had the sharpening.
I guess they had sharpening knives with them, yeah, I guess. I mean, it was probably a tool they used.
Soft sharpening.
They just killed the Philistines, so maybe they took those off of them.
But technically all they need was a stone.
Right. You could check with a stone. You could check with anything that doesn't give off thorns, meaning you could use theoretically a wooden knife if it's sharp enough. You could use anything that's sharp enough that it'll cut properly and won't give off splinters. And won't end up tearing. It has to cut. It has to be really sharp. Shaul says, let's go tonight and attack the Philistines. We have them right here. And the nation says, whatever you want, we're with you. Now, we should take note of something that's going on here. Shaul was pressured by the nation. That's why he brought the sacrifice early. Shaul takes a vow, so to speak, to hold back the nation, and it backfires. We see that night they ate improperly. Here's the one time where Shaul takes control of the nation and says he can't do this. And now Shaul says, let's go to the Philistines, and the nation gives him it's okay. You know the joke. The husband slams his fist on the table and says, I have the last word in this house. And the wife says, yes, dear. So sometimes when you give your approval, when you give your stamp of approval, sometimes you're really showing that the other guy is subservient to you. How come Shaul says, we're going down, and the nation says, yes, dear, yes, whatever you say to the king. What does it mean? The fact that the nation answered him, whatever you say, seems to indicate to me, this is my understanding, that they could have said, they felt they were empowered enough to say no. They're the ones that say yes, they're also the ones that could say no. It's what the Supreme Court once ruled in the United States. One of their first rulings, one of the rulings that gave them major power, so the justices had a discussion what they should do, and most of the justices were for voting against it. And ultimately they voted for, I don't remember which law, because they concluded that it's better to vote for it, and then it will be accepted by the Congress that we have the last say, which is part of the checks and balances system, that the Supreme Court can decide what's constitutional and what not. Because if we vote against it, right now we're not strong enough, and they're going to be able to overrule what we say, Congress. So right now let's go with Congress, because if we say yes today, that empowers us to say no in the future. So the nation over here, they tell Shaul, yeah. And the Kohen, he tells Shaul, let's ask God. So they try to ask God, and there's no answer. And Shaul says, wait a second, why isn't God answering us? We had such a great victory. What's wrong? At which point Shaul says, someone must have broken my vow. Someone must have eaten today. And Shaul says, I swear, if it's my own son, Yonasan, his blood will be spilled. And this is where we'll continue, God willing, next week. Now, let's...